The following podcast contains strong language and ridiculous cartoon scenarios conjured up by two self-proclaimed comedy wizards. Between you and me, they're more like Saturday morning court jesters fueled by sugary cereal. But either way, the opinions expressed and presented are mere musings, so please humor their well-intentioned hijinks with a laugh and not by taking anything they say seriously. Unless, of course, you want to pay them to say something else. Could always use a new pair of shoes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ReviewParty.com. I'm Matt.
I'm Brent.
And this is the only podcast that reviews... reviews.
Wow.
We're almost definitely positive that's the truth, right? We wouldn't lie.
We would never lie to any of you about anything. We don't have a disclaimer saying don't listen to a word we say at the beginning of our show.
We wouldn't jest, for Pete's sake.
We wouldn't joke. Peter's sake.
We wouldn't josh ya.
We wouldn't josh you. We wouldn't call you a Roger.
Nah, none of the above.
What are some other dumb names? Gladys, you're on watch. If you ever have a listener named Gladys, know you're on my list.
There's a Gladys in my office. I doubt she listens.
Hey, I'm glad she doesn't.
That's what we call a glad diss.
Oh, there we go. We found it. I got a review.
Kill me with it.
I think I can, because this review is for the Nerf Vortex Arrow Howler Foam Football. That's right. Those sweet little Nerf footballs with the tails and the whistle in them. This review from Amazon is written by Walker T. They title it Childhood 2.0. Brought me back to childhood when we were throwing this on the beach with friends this past weekend. Awesome that they still make these. Makes it where everyone can throw it and look good doing it. 5 stars. Matt, who looks cool throwing a Nerf football?
Everyone.
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah, it comes with a few, there's a few caveats. You need to be wearing the right uniform when you're playing with your Nerf football. A uniform includes, what do you got? Because I'm thinking an Oshkosh by gosh sweatshirt.
Okay.
Velcro sneakers.
Uh-huh.
And probably just a regular pair of blue jeans.
See, I'm picturing, if I can't help but picture someone throwing it, they got the backwards fitted hat.
Ooh.
Right? The, like, cheap off-brand Oakley sunglasses, where the color of the lens is that color, it, like, turns blue as you, like, blue and yellow as you shift in the light, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A chin strap beard, and probably a medium t-shirt.
Okay.
Let's complete it. Cargo shorts, an ankle tat, and Adidas flip-flops.
And a puka necklace or what?
Yep. That's the motherfucker that thinks he looks cool throwing a Nerf howler.
Okay, you're picturing a real douche then, huh? I'm picturing
a real Dutch.
Classic 90s child.
This guy was around in the 90s throwing Nerf howlers with the boys at the beach.
Ugh.
Yeah, this is the guy that, like, your older brother's friend who'd give you wedgies when he saw you.
Yeah, he thought it was cool to pick
on you. You were throwing the Nerf howler with your friends having an innocent fun time with this cool toy, and he takes it and just throws it as far as he can away from the play area.
Gets it stuck on your roof or something.
Yep. And then, well, sorry, little dude.
You get on the roof to try and get it down, and your mom yells at you, and it's like, I can't do anything right.
Yeah, you can't. Nothing's going right for you. Because of this guy, this Nerf Arrow Howler fiend.
This little crotch. Insert anything after crotch, and it will work.
This little crotch sniffer.
Little crotch bin, crotch bat.
This little crotchety crotcher.
Little crotch crotch.
A little crotch crutch.
Just a dingus.
Yeah, just the kind of guy that thinks it's funny to kick people in the balls when they have to use a crotch crutch. It's a little mini crutch that holds up your balls because they can't hang with the stitches. Ooh, boy, we're really starting off throwing some 5 minutes in, and we got crotch jokes. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Glad to have you.
If you're thinking this is too dirty, allow me to change everything. I have a review from rainbowoptics.com for some translucent violet frames. They're just like knockoff Ray-Ban Wayfarers that are purple lenses and purple frames.
Oh, so very gaudy.
Yeah, yeah. They're, I mean, they've got all the colors of the rainbow, as Rainbow Optics you would expect. They literally have a bunch of colors. So, fashionistas out there, climb on. Wade W. is a little disturbed. Wade W. titles his review, Violet Transparence. So far, so good. The view behind the violet lens is incredible. They cast the world in such a rich hue, it looks very washed out when you take them off, to say the least. This may sound unbelievable, but I would consider having these permanently installed in my eyes, if such a procedure were possible. But that would take away from the stylishness of the overall product. The classic transparent frame makes these a must-have. Highly recommend. 5 stars. 26 people found this helpful.
26 lovers of the transparent.
26 lovers of the facial reconstruction modification movement.
Yeah, dude, Detroit come human. That's the kind of world I'm trying to live in. To reference last episode, I'm trying to have not only a lizard arm, but also the other arm is a robot arm, and also I have cybernetic optic sunglasses grafted into my very skull.
But then you lose the style of the frames, man.
Oh, you're right. No, you can still kind of see them. They're metal and cool in my skin.
So they're sticking out of like your temples and they reinsert themselves back. Okay.
Yeah, they're very cool. Also, I have a backwards fitted hat. That does not have any cybernetic or superhero implications. It just is very cool.
A chin strap beard that you can strike matches on.
Yep, and I can throw, with my robot arm, I can throw a Nerf howler so fast it breaks the whistle breaks the sound barrier and blows people's heads off. That would be sick. You throw a Nerf howler so fast and it's like, oh no, it's not hitting anyone, it's no big deal. But then the sonic boom comes behind it and everyone it passes, their head just explodes. Man, our podcast is cool.
Yeah, that brings a whole new meaning to the game Dead or Alive, right?
Dead or Alive.
Isn't that what it was called?
What game?
The Dead or Alive 500, and you could shout Dead or Alive, right? That's what it was.
Dead or Alive is the fighting game with the girls that are well endowed.
500 is the game.
And 500.
And the boy throws the ball up, and he says, "This one's worth 100," and it's 100 if you catch it.
Oh, you're talking about that game.
Dead or Alive, then you don't have to catch it and you get the points. But that in this universe, everyone dies.
Yeah, if no one catches the ball, a sonic boom comes and kills all these playground children.
You also need to have a robot cybernetic lizard arm to be able to withstand the catching it.
Right. That game sucked. I remember playing that game in elementary school. That game was super lame.
There were worse games.
That would be cooler if there was exploding heads involved. Cybernetic. Man, I want to play on a playground with a bunch of kids with cybernetic superhero enhancements. Me being one of them.
Yes, that's key.
Who needs a whole metal arm? I just want a Mega Man style gun for an arm that shoots Nerf howlers.
I can hear the whistles calling.
You can hear the whistles calling, and I got these purple shades. Purple shades all on my face. Should I read a review?
You should read a review.
Well, if you put it that way. I got a review, speaking of light, I think. I got a review for the Philips Smart Sleep. Connected sleep and wake up light, personalized sunrise and sunset, sleep mapper app enabled, sleep environment tracking, alarm clock.
It tracks my environment?
Yeah, this is a fucking $300 alarm clock, buddy. And it looks like a big toilet shaped light.
Okay.
Sideways toilet. But yeah, it's one of those alarm clocks that instead of buzzing at you to wake you up, it naturally fades into sunlight. So you wake up at like a caveman. Abascal writes, sound sucks, light's good. Gets an A for the light, but an F for the soothing sounds it provides. I tested it out on a Saturday morning, didn't have anywhere to go. So if the settings were wrong, I wouldn't be late to work. I set the sounds to birds. Bird alarm came on. Sounded great, but decided to relax in bed to hear the birds. Realized quickly they are playing a 19.5 second loop. Yes, I timed it. It was getting really annoying fast. Wish they would have recorded a longer amount of time so a few of us that snooze can just relax instead of that woodpecker going bang, 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 bang every 15 seconds. Also, the bird noise is exactly 19.5 seconds long. Yes, I timed it because it's so annoying. 1 star.
Wow. I mean, it wakes you up.
Yeah.
Something annoying will wake you up.
Why don't they just open the window?
Yeah, the birds will start calling. It's called bird song. It happens in the morning.
The birds will sing.
It's free, too.
It's not $300, that's for sure. But the light was... See, I wish you would describe the light. I want to know if this toilet makes a good light.
I mean, is it any different than having a window near you? You think?
Now we're really getting to the meat of this, aren't we? Now we're really tearing down the capitalist establishment.
That's also free.
You're telling me that big, big golden orb in the sky is free?
There's a whole lot of free wake-up calls out here. And this is one. You don't need to spend $300 on a natural alarm clock.
Yeah, just open your blinds.
I mean, if you live in a dungeon, maybe?
I guess I'm already hearing the argument in my head. Well, what if you want to wake up at 8 a.m. instead of 7 a.m. from natural light? Well, then aren't you... That's just first world problems, dude, isn't it? First world problems, if I ever heard one.
If you're not waking up till 8 a.m., you're not accomplishing much anyway.
I always think about what happened in like the Renaissance era when no one had alarm clocks. Because, motherfuckers, I'm sleeping in if I don't have that thing at me in the morning. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, do you think the roosters were actually useful? Or was like Olaf just down there at the stables being like, jeez, Gregor is late again. Somebody's going to have to slop this slop.
Yeah, I'd be Gregor. There'd be a lot of slop unslopped on my watch.
This is the 14th time. I don't know if we have weeks right now, but gosh dang it.
I mean, people went to bed earlier, right? Because they didn't have lights to do anything with that night. Maybe. But I'm still sleeping in till 10, 12 o'clock. Renaissance Brent, Gregor, the slop king. You know, someone's going to have to wake me up. I'm going to have a guy. But what if the guy doesn't wake up?
The guy's just going to have to stay up.
I'm missing a lot of rendezvous because of this lack of alarm clock.
Yeah. They maybe had sundials. They had hourglasses. Maybe they had some Rube Goldberg project. You know, you set it up when you go to sleep and it just takes 8 hours for it to finally, you know, topple all of the dominoes.
Okay.
It's a giant set of dominoes that leads back to your face.
Yeah, you gotta... It's a perfect 8 hours. Like, you lay in bed, you gotta flick that domino. It wraps around your entire house. But if you have a cat, what if it fucks it up?
Oh, yeah. The cats were running rampant in the medieval times, for sure.
In Renaissance era, did they have cats? They have pets? Yeah, they right?
Must have.
I don't know if they did. I don't know if they didn't have litter boxes.
No, that was everywhere.
That sounds awful right there. That's enough reason for me not to have a cat in the room. Sloppy Greg did not have a cat, for the record.
He did it all himself.
He can slop himself, people. Don't worry about Greg. You got another one you want to do? You got a little review?
I got more than a little, actually.
Yeah, give us a meaty one.
I don't know if it's meaty. It's something. As long as we're talking about
sludgy, goopy.
It's sludgy and poopy.
Oh, it's poopy.
Yes, this actually came across my Instagram. Our Instagram. You can follow us at reviewparty.com on Instagram. I happen to see an advertisement, a promotion on Instagram for the Tushy Bidet. Ooh. And they were really pushing these funny reviews in their little ad.
Oh, they're trying to stake a claim on our area here, this capitalist marketing team.
See, my eyes have been trained. I'm looking at these reviews and I see, oh, this is from 2018. This is from 2017. Tushy, get on your game. Get off your tushes and do some work. You can't sell me on an old review.
I think most of my reviews are 2020 era, baby. 2020, 2021. We're staying current.
Sometimes you find older ones. Sometimes you find one from 2000 and it's great.
Sure, sure.
But if you're trying to sell me a product and you're using a review, don't sell me an old review.
Yeah. There's so much turnover at these goddamn companies. 2018 bidet team is a totally different team.
Yeah. People posting like screenshots of Twitter posts too, and it's from 2 years ago. It's a funny joke, but that's 2 years old, bruh.
Did Twitter even exist 2 years ago? I think that's fabricated.
Anyway, I took it upon myself to go to Tushy's website, find some reviews, and I told them the names of the reviewers and the dates they were left. I'm like, you need to update these. Let us help. So maybe there'll be a sponsor one day, and we'll be selling bidets.
Yeah, all this being said, days. I love a bidet. I'm sure I'll get into it more after the review, even though you probably don't want me to. Continue.
So this is the Tushy Classic Bidet, Tushy Classic 3.0. There's the the premium one where you can get heated water, but this is just the classic
bare bones bidet. Fire hose on the butthole.
So let's see, which end do I want to start from? I have three here. I'm going to go in the order that I found them.
Okay.
So I have a review from A.L.M., verified buyer. ALM titles their review, "The best part of my day just got better." Now, I love to take a big old dump every single day. Heck, I would even go so far as to plan my day around the elegant release of some heavy-duty dookie dumping. So when I installed my brand new Tushy, it took my sacred boweling ritual to the next level. Thank you for enhancing my fecal ritual. I may never leave the confines of my commode as I wash and clean my anus with that firm yet gentle splash of wet, wet spray. 5 stars.
Hell yeah, dude. Relatable content.
He's getting in there with it. I believe Mitch gets in there too. Mitch M., also verified buyer, titles his review "Glistening Hole" and writes, "Love product. I've told several friends and family members about it. The classic works just fine. The water isn't too cold. Good sphincter workout when it contacts."
What?
Good sphincter workout when it contracts from the cold. LOL, joking aside, it's not uncomfortable. 5 stars.
How tight is your fucking butthole clenching when this water hits you?
He's doing Kegel exercises and everything.
Oh my god.
Okay, finally, to take us a bit out of the dumpster, we have a review from Gerald T., verified buyer, ... Just want to say, wonderful. And that's the first line of his review. Just want to say, wonderful. ... For cleaning, sensation, and minimal, quote, pat dry. Wife was dubious. R.E. the use. Sidebar, I love it when people just use the shorthand for regarding. Wife was dubious regarding the use. After her first use, I asked her, through the bathroom door what she thought. In a loud voice, she said, "Grand! A whole new world has opened for me."
Exactly.
These people are old. Tushies and self-driving vehicles may be the new wave of upcoming must-haves. 5 stars.
Listen, you're having a laugh at these people, but I bet that anyone who has ever tried a bidet knows that it's the best. It's you can't, it's hard to live your life without one once you've had it.
I'm just picturing this is going to go back to the archives, the people who had their house joke.
Oh, yep.
That was probably sub episode 10.
I think that's like episode 2 or something, house joke.
2 through 6, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
The product was a t-shirt that said, "I let the dogs out." And they loved it because the house joke is, who let the dogs out?
Yeah, the quote-unquote house joke.
So that's this couple. "Honey, how's the bidet?" "It's great."
So you imagine that every time he knows when his wife be pooping. And every asking. Time they have to have like a 1950s sitcom back and forth about it.
Yes. Yes.
"How's the bidet?" Dun, 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 dun. "Oh, it's marvelous." Audience canned laughter.
"Ah. Ooh, that water's cold."
Oh, listen. I'm gonna lay it all out here. Give me the water warm. Give me the water hot. Give me the water gentle, but firm. My butthole being cleaned by a jet of water. It's wonderful.
I can take it.
I know there's naysayers out there. I know some of you are thinking, what is this guy going on? Well, I can just wipe my ass with my hand like a mongrel. No. Invest. Invest. I was about to say it was a third of your life. For me, it's a third of my life. One third sleeping, one third working, one third shitting. So I really need one.
If they're a sponsor, I'll take one for sure.
Yeah, send one over. We will write reviews that make these look like 1-star reviews. We will construct a symphony of sound and verbiage about getting our buttholes sprayed down. By a firm but gentle spray of water.
I've tried pushing them, but they're resistant.
They're resistant.
And I see them responding to other people's comments too. That's the worst thing. People are like, "Tushy, isn't that porn? Isn't that butt stuff?" And I see them responding, and I'm like, "Hey, Tushy, I'd like to help you out business wise. I'm a review aficionado. Let me know." And then I see the sponsored thing a whole week later, and I'm like, "Hey, you never got back to me, but I see you responding to these butt sex jokers. Let me find some bidet reviews for you from your site."
No,
trying to make a difference.
Listen, I've worked for, you know, on the team that does the customer service social media replies. And I can say that you're just being too evocative. You're being too fun and too imaginative. You're being everything that should be, that is fun about social media. And you're just not being by the books. They have to look up before they give you their response in their little guidebook. What's the canned response that I can sort of edit to that, to make it sound individualized? Mm-hmm. They have to read that first. You're pushing the envelope. But hey, keep at it. You keep at it. Who knows if they're sending those along to the higher ups.
We'll have wet butts before you know it.
Our butts are going to be soaked, people, and you will all be the first ones to hear about it. I hope you're looking forward to it. This has been a particularly raunchy first half of the episode.
A little bit.
I kind of like it.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. We're all human here, I assume. Yeah. If we've got some alien listeners.
Over the course of 40 episodes, I don't think we've indulged too much in blue humor.
Toilet humor. Potty jokes.
Potty jokes. Or alien calls.
Yeah, like, we haven't played it up.
So, you owe us this, fan base. You owe us this, folks. And you also owe us a break. So, listen to an ad and buy a shirt.
I am pooped. Take a trip with me and tell me what you see. Stay in- Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to our lovely little podcast. If you'd like to go above and beyond in supporting our show, or have the most fabulous conversation starter since sliced bread, go to reviewparty.com. Click on shop and explore some fabulous t-shirt designs.
Where's your favorite place to wear a t-shirt?
On my body.
Mine is at the store.
That is a good place to wear a t-shirt. Reviewparty.com. Click shop.
Why stop there?
Don't stop now.
Don't stop me now, because I'm buying a t-shirt. I'm buying a shirt. And we're back. And we're also back with the third round of the Snack It. That is right. If you weren't with us last week, there is a snack bracket, an internet community fun time where people vote on different snacks in a March Madness style tournament bracket. Matt and I did the first two regions on last week's segment, and we're back to provide you with this week's regions. I'll kick it right off. This region is known as the spread region, spread-based snacks. It has number one seed apples and peanut butter, very fitting number one seed, with against 16 radishes and butter.
I have never heard of anyone eating radishes and butter.
That is, feels severely bougie.
Feels wrong. It feels, I don't know about bougie, but I do get some European influence from it. I don't know if that's like a sleeper cell option that if someone chooses it, they know that you're a Russian agent. Sorry, Russians out there. But it's apples and peanut butter for me.
Apples and peanut butter is a wildly perfect matching of snacks and flavors. Number two seed, fresh bread and butter. Wow. Versus number 15 seed, bagel chips and chive and onion cream cheese.
Huh.
I think that's a strong underdog, but
yeah,
the description of fresh bread and butter.
Fresh bread.
Lends a quality and taking it right out the oven and buttering that bad boy up. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I rarely have bread with butter, but the fresh bread aspect of it. I can't say I have bagel chips and chives and onion cream cheese either, but you nailed it. It's the qualifier of fresh bread.
Yep, that's an easy one. Number three, seeded banana bread and Nutella versus mini toast and pate.
Oh my god.
Now, we've been decidedly anti-bougie, more or less, I think, in this segment. But I'm going to go out on a limb here and say mini toast and pate, that's a bougie option for me. And yeah, maybe it's my Slavic ancestry. This looks like that the little picture of some bread and some weird brown pate and a little pickle on top. That's just like, looks like grandma's house.
It looks fine to me. I honestly, I'm not a Nutella guy. I can't get behind the movement. It just seems, I don't know what it is about it.
If I want peanut butter, I'm going to have peanut butter. If I want chocolate, I'm going to have chocolate. That's how I feel about Nutella. I don't want that in between.
The whole thing where they were trying to like challenge the FDA or something to get them qualified as the same under the same food type as peanut butter, so that way they can say we only have this many calories per serving, because depending on what the food type is, the serving size changes. Something like, there was a whole conspiracy of them trying to change their classification of food type so that they can use misleading labels.
They're like, no, you're not a spread. You are a fucking frosting.
You're a dessert.
Yeah, you are a dessert. Deal with it. So mini toast and pate, underdog.
Yes.
I don't think it's going to make it. Nutella fans are way too freakish, though.
They're too vociferous.
Uh-huh. Good word. Number four, seeded Ritz crackers and pimento cheese versus hot Cheetos and cream cheese.
Okay, that one is somebody thought of that high.
Yeah. But I do want to try it.
The pimento cheese for me.
Yeah, it is. I haven't tried the hot Cheetos and cream cheese. That might be a winner combination. The smooth and silky and cooling with the hot and aggressive hot Cheeto, that might be fun. But pimento cheese and Ritz crackers, holy moly, that's nice. Ooh, this might be Whoa. This might be my fave, my tournament fave for the whole thing. Number 5 seeded Oreos and peanut butter versus number 12 seed English muffin and jam.
Who does that?
English muffin and jam?
I do English muffin and jam. I do not take an Oreo, put peanut butter on it, put another Oreo on top, and then put peanut butter on top of that.
Brother, do not let the picture mislead you. The true Oreo and peanut butter, you get a fresh Peter Pan peanut butter.
Peter Pan?
I'm going there, dude. I'm bringing back those nostalgic memories. A fresh jar.
E. coli.
Of smooth Peter Pan peanut butter. You take a double stuffed Oreo and scoop that peanut butter out with the Oreo.
Yep.
And pop that in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And that is my fave for the tournament. I'm going to say it right now.
I'm going English muffin.
I don't blame you. That's a good combo, too. I love an English muffin. The store I work at, side note, has English muffin bread loaves. So it's just like English muffin type bread shaped like a loaf. Cut into slices. And I have a tiny little crappy toaster that cannot fit English muffins, but it can fit those bread loaves. Mm-hmm. And you get a whole bread-sized English muffin with the... Oh, it's amazing. If you see it, I would try it.
Okay.
Number 6 seed, chocolate chips and peanut butter versus number 11 seed, pretzel twists and Nutella.
I hate them both. One, because I would never do it. The second, because I would never want it.
And the second is not a snack. The chocolate chips and peanut butter is not a snack. Pretzel twists and Nutella, I can see that as a snack. And
those pretzel like twists, though, they're not going to be salty enough.
I don't know, man. Chocolate chips and peanut butter seems so out of place. Pretzel twists and Nutella, even though I don't like Nutella, I think I can get behind.
You're right. Chocolate chips and peanut butter is not a snack. It's an aberration.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It's an ingredient. Two separate ingredients just put together for some reason. It's like if flour and egg was on here. Number 7 seed, banana and peanut butter versus number 10 seed, graham crackers and peanut butter.
These are some heavyweights here.
I am going to come out and say banana and peanut butter for me.
Yeah, that's what it is for me too.
I'm surprised we haven't seen celery sticks and peanut butter.
No kidding. It seems like it's taking combinations of two things and two things only.
Yeah.
You couldn't have true ants on a log.
Ants on a log is fire. Have you had graham crackers and peanut butter? I didn't really think of that as the thing.
I think I have. It was like a classroom snack or something.
Yeah. Number 8 seed, pickles and cream cheese. What? Versus number 9 seed, dates and goat cheese.
I have had the pickles they have cream cheese with the salami wrapped around it.
Uh-huh.
Which is good.
Okay.
So assuming there's salami involved, I'm on that train.
I think that's fair. On the other hand, I'm going to go with dates and goat cheese. That seems, of the bougie snacks, if you go to Target and get the bougie adult Lunchables, the mini charcuterie plastic trays, if dates and goat cheese is the option, that could be the game changer for the one I'm picking.
It's good. I won't knock it.
Yeah. This the bottom of this section has a dancing peanut butter jar for those keeping score, because peanut butter was the only fucking thing they featured in the spread category. You can see the top of the dip is the Seinfeld double dip gif. Man, yes. That guy, dude, really comes up on him. So this is a region 4 dip category. Number 1, we got French fries, fast food French fries, and Frosty versus 16 seed bell pepper strips and homemade ranch. What do you think, man?
I've never been, like, on board with dipping things in my Frosty. My high school girlfriend dipped her chicken nuggets from Wendy's in the Frosty.
Blech.
In addition to fries.
Jeez, that's just gluttonous.
People do this? What? I paid $4 for you to do that?
I'm such a sweet and sour sauce purist, dude. That I can never dip anything in Frosty if there's sweet and sour sauce as an option. On the other hand, I do love fresh bell pepper strips. I think, like, just getting a bell pepper, cutting up and eating it is severely underrated as a snack. I don't really like ranch, homemade or not.
I do like ranch. I'm not going to make it myself, though. This is a tough one.
I'm just going to click the bell pepper strips. I'm going to go with the underdog.
Yeah, I feel like that's a poorly weighted number one.
Yeah. Some people are into, the people that are into that are into that. So who knows? Number two seed, fresh pita bread and homemade hummus versus mac and cheese bites and spicy ranch dip.
I'm not making it homemade, but pita and hummus.
Right. That's an all timer. That's like peanut butter and chocolate. That's such a classic. Got
the fresh qualifier again. Very important.
Very overpowered. Mac and cheese bites and spicy ranch dip. I would love that as an appetizer. But pita bread and hummus is like an institution.
You can't mess that up.
No. Speaking of institution, pot stickers and sweetened soy sauce versus sweet potato fries and aioli.
Sorry, pot stickers.
Yes. Pot stickers and fucking sweetened soy sauce.
Not a doubt.
Is the some of the best shit on the planet, snack or not. Speaking of some of the best shit on the planet, snack or not, number four seed, mozzarella sticks and marinara sauce versus Teddy Grahams and Funfetti frosting. I love the Teddy Grahams and Funfetti frosting is just Dunkaroo, right?
That's
love that. But mozzarella sticks and marinara sauce?
I'm sorry. I'm in the savory mind right now.
Yeah, that is mozzarella sticks and marinara sauce is like a Cthulhu or a Lovecraftian god level of snack.
It can't be toppled.
No, it is beyond our human comprehension how big and delicious that is. Number 5 seed, Ruffles and French onion dip versus number 12 seed, corn chips and spinach artichoke dip.
Corn chips? Nah. Give me Ruffles.
Ruffle it up. Yeah, that's a lot of institutions in this dip category. This is a fruitful category.
It keeps going.
Speaking of which, this is my other favorite besides the Oreos. Number 6, tortilla chips and red salsa versus fresh pita bread and baba ganoush.
And baba ganoush, just kind of the same theory as hummus made with something else.
Yeah, and I do enjoy a baba ganoush and a pita bread, but tortilla chip and red salsa?
Yeah.
It's my favorite snack. Oreos is like my favorite desserty snack. Tortilla chips and red salsa is my favorite salty snack. So I gotta go for it. I imagine you're on the same boat.
Yep.
I mean, what's better than being at a Mexican restaurant, super hungry, so excited to eat, as they greet you, boom, chips and salsa. Ugh.
Fresh chips, even better.
Oh, absolutely. Almost as good. Number 7, tortilla chips and green salsa versus tortilla scoops plus buffalo chicken dip.
Underdog. I like when they give me both salsas, the green and the red, and I can, you know, mix and match.
Okay.
To my suiting. I think buffalo chicken dip, though, that's gonna fill me up some.
Okay.
That's where it's at for me.
So it's buffalo chicken dip's a bit more of an appetizer.
Yeah. It's got some heft.
Yeah. I'm biased because I think buffalo chicken dip looks like baby poop and I never really get on board with it. So, and I do love green salsa chips, even though I think it, like, obviously red salsa is just superior as a classic snack. Mm-hmm. I love green salsa as well, so I can't in good conscience not pick it. Which one are you going with?
That's fine. I am going with the buffalo chicken dip.
I'm glad you did. I don't want to turn my back on a classic snack because of my own personal bias like that. Oof. Our Midwestern, this one is a round that it's like, how Midwestern are you, Brent, versus how much did you enjoy your childhood, Brent?
Yeah.
Number 8, soft pretzels and grainy mustard versus number 9, apples and caramel dip.
I have fond memories of apple and caramel dip. I love Affy's apples. I can eat one in 7 seconds, unless it's a very large apple or it's coated in particularly spiky walnuts or like a chocolate shell with M&M's sticking out.
Yeah, I think, you know, those little apple, they're like little caramel cups specifically for apples.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what brand they are, but that was like my go-to mom's getting me a snack from toddlerhood to into teenagedom. So I really can't turn my back on it. As much as I love a ballpark soft pretzel and cheese or soft pretzel and mustard, I have to go with the caramel dip.
I am turning my back on sticky hands and going for a pretzel and mustard.
Are you really? Why is it top of the caramel for you?
I don't know. Something for me personally, my family doesn't have a whole lot of like heritage or traditional things. Uh-huh. For whatever reason, I don't know. Like grandma never said, here's the Irish food or the whatever food. Mm. We're just like, hey, we're American. We're bland and boring. but I don't know. I guess a soft pretzel and mustard excites me. Like I'm living a little
there's
bit.
There's something down in your gene pool that bubbles
possibly
up.
Possibly. I don't know. So that's it for me.
So I have submitted my votes. Again, I will put the link to this Google Doc so you can participate either in making your own bracket and predicting the winners or voting for the winners like we just did. So go ahead in the podcast description. You should be able to find it if you want to participate. Otherwise, we'll be back with this once the snacket is over. I think at the end of March, we'll be able to go over these results and get pissed about them. Until yeah. Then, do you got a review?
I have a review. After all that food talk, I'm not even going to a restaurant. I'm going to the best place to get food, Amazon.
Amazon. Yeah, we do have... There has been very many, like, get food off Amazon, and it's kind of weird for to order.
Yeah, this is definitely a weird one to order off of Amazon, or in general, because this is Taco Bell Original Refried Beans, 1 pound, pack of 12.
Ooh, boy, I'm excited already.
Canned refried beans, Taco Bell from Amazon. Oh, man. And Amazon user Artium writes, I always wondered why Taco Bell beans taste so much better than anything else I've tried. Turns out, it's high fructose corn syrup and a handful of other additives. Does that change my opinion of them? There's a part of my brain that says I should be embarrassed to admit this as a grown man, but nope. I still strongly prefer these. With some cheese folded into a warm pot of these, texture is heavenly. Taco Bell burritos used to be generously filled. Now, corporate profit maximizing regulates them to about 5 layers of folded tortillas with a drywaller's scrape of beans in them. Luckily, they can be properly made at home. 5 stars.
Matt, I am so ashamed to admit that I agree with this review wholeheartedly. Every word, every sentence rang with truth for me.
Taco Bell sold out.
I don't know if
out.
I can make comedy about something I feel so strongly about. What struck you about this bad boy?
First of all, that Taco, you can buy Taco Bell brand refried beans.
Yeah, I had to open a tab in Amazon and type it in and look at it as you read the review.
It is stunning that that's an option for people to do.
I've never seen this at a grocery store. Is this like an online exclusive? I've seen their seasoning packets for meat, and to me, that makes perfect sense. This, yes. Even though I, you know, am buy into it and I'm now like, yeah, I want to make this at home, I never fathomed it.
Apparently, it's been available in some stores because there were other reviews and people were saying, I can't find it anymore.
Probably because no one fucking bought this.
What?
Who in good conscience, as much as I'm like, yeah, yeah, give me that fucking sloppy Taco Bell refried bean sauce. Who in good conscience could grab the Taco Bell refried beans next to like an old El Paso can or something?
And then face the cashier.
Or a La Preferida, and exactly, and then face the cashier.
Or the people in line behind you. Beep, beep. And they're like, oh my God.
And it is my experience as a grocery store cashier. Most people, when they buy a thing, they don't buy just one of the thing. They buy 1 to 4 of the thing.
Nah, you stocking up.
Right. Is something, a canned good like this, you know, unless it's for a specific one-time recipe, you're buying a few of them. And I think this guy, he just ordered it from Amazon so he doesn't have to face down a cashier with 12 of those bad boys on the belt.
Like, really? Yeah, you're back again.
You got anything else to say about these beans, dude?
I just appreciate his imagery telling me how much or I should say how little beans are now being used, a drywaller's scrape of beans is what Taco Bell is giving you now. I'm like,
right.
That, yeah.
He is exactly right. Even the beefy five layer, which is purely like, let's mix ground beef, beans, and cheese into mm-hmm. like a delicious chili material. Be skimping. And they used to be on the dollar menu. They took it off and they still be skimping on the beans. Who is this man? My long lost brother and Taco Bell enjoying. I hope you hear this someday, sir.
Artyom.
I love and appreciate you.
We're here for you.
You're not alone in this world. And something else that we, you know, brings us all together. Yelp Japan, baby.
Ooh, take us back.
That's right. There's none last week. I can already hear the cries and complaints. Where was Yelp Japan? I can't go a week without some Yelp Japan. I can't go a week without Brent sloshing down in the deep doo-doo of boring Japanese Yelp reviews. Prospect some gold from the sweet Japanese Yelp shores. Well, folks, here it is. This is by Francisco A. from Linwood, Washington. He is reviewing the Shinjuku Toho Building Godzilla Head. This is a 1-to-1 movie replica head that is on top of a hotel building in Shinjuku, which is one of the biggest neighborhoods in Tokyo. And it just looks like Godzilla is poking up behind this building and growling at you.
I love it.
It's right next to a Toho movie theater. So you're going to the movies, you're going to see Mr. Zilla. Francisco writes, a very cool little place to visit and snap some pics. I'm a huge Godzilla fan and enjoyed looking at the gear they have. Godzilla Head roars every hour on the hour starting at noon. I was disappointed that they had such low merchandise and Godzilla souvenirs. You'll find better stuff in the surrounding shopping districts. 4 stars.
You know what? They need to start that thing at about 8 a.m. because that's going to be my alarm clock.
Yeah, that terrible Godzilla, like, upside down cello scraping scream. That would wake me the fuck up.
Yes.
That actually makes me want to get that soundbite and put it on my phone for an alarm.
Who needs the sun? Who needs birdsong? You can have Godzilla scream.
That reminds me of a story. As a child, there is a Wisconsin town with a racetrack that I cannot remember, and every year they have like a demolition derby there. That was my family's idea of fun, is going to this Wisconsin watered down destruction derby. And honestly, it was pretty fun. I like the races more than the actual destruction derby, because they're kind of the races where everyone's in a crappy car and bumping and grinding is encouraged. Mm-hmm. There's also a race where they race modified school buses around a figure eight track, where toppling the buses in front of you is also encouraged. One of the events is they had a giant modified construction vehicle with a dragon head that would lift, that shot fire and would lift and drop cars.
Ah.
While this monstrosity of metal dropped cars, much to the glee of all the rednecks in the audience,
of course.
They played the Godzilla roar sound effect on repeat for, I want to say, 20 minutes straight. And boy, is there a reason they don't do that in the movies, because on about roar 3, you really get the picture that that's the Godzilla roar.
Hey, Simple Strokes for Simple Folks.
And it just takes all the energy out of the moment. I remember sitting there so bored, so annoyed. It just, like, this all the effort and positive attitude I put into enjoying this Wisconsin Demolition Derby was totally sucked out of me by that machine and the sound effect blaring over the fucking speakers. And I, even as a child, I remember thinking, who thinks this is a good idea? Who is on the soundboard right now and not just turning it off? Just play some metal music or something.
Crazy. Yeah, that'd probably do it. I can picture little Brent. Yeah. Mom, when are they going to stop playing the Godzilla sound?
Exactly. And I'm the Godzilla fan. I love Godzilla. Yeah. When I heard the sound the first time, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
This is something I can identify with. The love of a giant kaiju. But no, it quickly drained it. And I'm happy to say I got over it. And I again can enjoy it. But I am one step away from hating that sound again. So maybe making it my alarm clock is not a good idea.
Yeah. Don't tarnish it.
Speaking of tarnish it. We're going to do some plugs.
Just speaking of time, it's up.
It's up. So thanks for listening. Thanks for making it here to the end. A whole hour of comedy. Started off a little raunchy, ended a little Godzilla-y. Reptile-y? Mm-hmm. Scaly? But yeah, thanks for listening. Really appreciate it. If you want some more, new episodes every Tuesday morning. We'd love to have you there listening in with the Tuesday morning squad, the Tuesday Reviews Day squad. If you'd like to send in an absurd review for us to muse over, please send an email with a hyperlink to that review to reviewparty.com@gmail.com and include your name so we can throw you some credit.
We are on Instagram. We are on Twitter. We are everywhere. Reviewparty.com on Instagram. ReviewPartyPod on Twitter. We're throwing funny junk at the screens, at your fingertips. It's there. You can like it. You can share it. You can follow it. I've heard people do those things. So yeah. If you want to be people, you could also do those things.
Speaking of funnyjunk.com, we were on funnyjunk.com when it was original and new and exciting and good. That's how long we logged our 10,000 hours of enjoying media on the internet. And now mm-hmm. we're trying to purvey it to you, not through just this podcast, but through excellent social media content on your Instagram and Twitter feeds. So please follow.
If that's a little too in for you, reviewparty.com. Tons of stuff there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Speaking of in, I like to put my nose, my finger in my nose and make it bleed. That's right. Nosebleeds, the band. They let us use their song, and we love it. You can also love that song and listen to their other tunes on Spotify. Search Nosebleeds, one word.
And now I have the esteemed pleasure of closing the episode with a review.
Absolutely.
I went someplace different. I went to the past, as well as Metacritic.com, to dig up a review for Pokemon Snap, the video game, Nintendo 64. There's a new one coming out, so maybe I should save this, but whatever.
It's topical right now. People are excited. The hype is building.
Actually, by the time this is out, we're going to be a lot closer.
Perfect.
Now, user Dom S.
Dumbass?
It's Dom, capital S, period. No space between it, so use your imagination. Dom S. writes, as addictive as crack. Although, I don't know what crack is like. Don't judge me, 10.
Man, do I hate people that haven't tried crack. I go out of my way to judge those bastards as much as I can.
What a little loser.
Yeah, this kid's a nerd.